Welcome to this week's podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. Really glad you could join today, as I'm going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, but I think I say that on every episode, but just love entrepreneurs and small business so much. So I'm really happy that you've been able to join. For those of you that have never listened before, this podcast is mainly me, Dylan Gallagher, exploring my thoughts as it relates to being an entrepreneur, running a business, trying to pursue all of those great things that go along with the romantic notion of owning a business. And so I use this podcast to share my thoughts, but really to explore my own thoughts and to discover things that maybe I'm having troubles with or challenges with. And as I talk through them, I seem to realize and learn new things about them. And my hope is that, you know, if you're listening to this, that maybe you walk away with some new ideas as well. And my career, just in the for what it's worth category, has been spent in finance, in particular debt finance, working with entrepreneurs, businesses, as well as the banks and investors that fund them. And so my hope would be that you find this interesting and helpful. And if you are an entrepreneur or business owner, or investor that maybe funds either of those groups, that you'd walk away with new ideas on how you can do more. And my guiding philosophy is, if I can help other people do more, that would mean their financial situation would enable them to give back to the community around them, save for the future, or invest in new opportunities. So today, I'm going to be talking about establishing a beachhead, or making sure that you have a foundation from which you can grow your business on. And it doesn't matter whether you are a large company doing tens of millions of dollars a year in revenue, or whether you are a lifestyle business doing hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in revenue. The topic today, I think, is equally important to all kinds of businesses. And it's this idea that before you can take new markets, that you really have to have a beachhead to work from. And I don't know if you've ever played the game of Risk, but you sort of start out with a limited amount of soldiers and you place them on the game board. And then with each passing turn, you try to take on new countries. And the idea is, I think, that the principle that applies here is that it's pretty hard to go after new markets or go after new customers if you don't have a source of revenue to work from. And I'll use my business as an example. We're in the brokerage business. And so our business, by its very nature, is heavily dependent upon personal relationships. There is a direct connection between the number of coffee meetings, the number of personal interactions, the number of networking events that I go to, and the amount of opportunity I'm able to take a look at. I could probably draw a straight line. I couldn't calculate it on a mathematical basis, but I know, generally speaking, if I'm out at meetings throughout a week, I tend to see more activity than if I'm out at meetings once a month. And conversely, in the few months where I've had to lock myself away and work on our technology platform, that I've seen very little opportunities come in. So our business, a lifestyle business, my personal relationships are what give me the ability to earn revenue and put food on the table for my family of one beautiful wife and five amazing kids. And in order for me to now want to try to do something new with my business, I have to know that the phone will still ring, the email inbox will still get full with the odd opportunity that will enable me to earn some revenue while I pursue some of these other opportunities. And so in our business, a couple of years ago, I spent some time developing an online platform that my hopes would be to see it cannibalize our existing lifestyle business. And so in order to do that, in order to spend time on programming and talking to developers and engaging with marketing people, you have to have money to do that. In order to have money to do that, you have to have a base of customers that are consistently providing you with business. So I was in a meeting last week with a manufacturing company and an investor that I had arranged for them to meet so that they could try to see if there was an opportunity maybe to help them get some money or access some money to float their cash flow. They had to, over the last year or so, they've had to put an enormous amount of money into their facilities and their equipment so that they can produce this particular product that they manufacture. But they don't have the business yet to pay for all of that investment, and so they're going to need an investor or a source of capital that can float their business while they kind of capitalize on the market. But in sitting with this particular business owner, one of the questions came out was, you know, who have you established as your first customer or your base of customers that are at least making sure that the money coming in or the revenue coming in is sufficient enough to keep the lights on? And the investor wasn't saying, you know, tell me about your most profitable opportunities, the customers you make the most money off of. The investor is actually trying to say, have you done whatever it takes to make sure that you're doing the amount of business necessary to keep the lights on? You may not be profitable, but have you discounted your product enough with one or two big customers that could give you the volume that you need, could give you the consistency that you need, and even though you might not be profitable off of them, they are giving you the activity that you need to keep the lights on. And then from there, once you've established that base, now you can begin to go and take on smaller customers that may not give you the same consistency of orders, but when you do get orders from them, the margins are very much healthier than, very much healthier, is that even good grammar? I don't think it is. But the margins are healthier from some of these other customers that are less consistent than they would be with your base of customers. And so watching this entrepreneur squirm in his chair a little bit, his immediate response was to say, well, I didn't want to give our product away to the marketplace because then it sets a precedent. If I give our product on a cost basis to customer A, then that means because it's a small community, customer A talks to customer B and C, and then they hear about the kind of deal they've gotten and so forth. And I know that if I come out and tell them that's my price, then I have to stick to that price. And this investor pushed back a little bit and said, you know what, that isn't entirely true. If customer A agrees to give you a certain amount of business in exchange for that price discount, then it could be a reasonable offer to make to some of these other customers. But chances are, if you've gone to the very largest customer in the marketplace that you have and have given them a discount, it'll be pretty hard for the other competitors in the marketplace to commit to giving you that same level of business because they're not the same size. So through this meeting, I was able to pick up a little bit of this idea of establishing a base of customers. And it's kind of one of those things that you know intuitively, but maybe you don't pay a lot of attention to until someone brings it to your attention. And sitting with this investor who happens to have a background in manufacturing. In fact, they ran a very successful manufacturing business that they sold and did extremely well in, and now simply invest in other businesses. And so this particular investor wasn't just speaking on a principled basis. They're really speaking from that conviction of their own personal experience, because that's what they had to do in order to become the dominant player in their market. They had to establish a clientele that they maybe weren't making a lot of money off of, but they were getting a consistent amount of business coming in the door, and it was sufficient enough to keep the lights on. So that got me thinking about some of the other customers that we're working with, and we have a customer right now that's looking to they're looking to recapitalize their balance sheet and take care of some expensive debt, replace it with lower interest debt. But they, you know, they've been around for decades, and they do have an established base of revenue. Now, unfortunately, they have leveraged out that base a little bit too much, but with our help and the help of our platform, emilynow.ca, they're going to get a chance to see what kind of money they can bring in to lower their cost of borrowing. But it was interesting because in thinking about them for a couple of decades now, they've had hundreds of customers that have enabled them to not be really profitable in terms of, you know, they're living in big houses with fancy cars and all that kind of stuff, but certainly they've been able to keep the lights on, pay their staff. They have almost 100 employees, and so they've got a good little business. But now they, in the last year or two, they've looked to leverage up on their assets and their cash flow, and so they're looking to enter new markets. But they do have an established base of revenue that they can count on right now, so that as they take that leap into the new business initiative that they're trying to undertake, they can do so with a little bit of confidence. Now, in the example I gave about our business, if I don't go and have a coffee meeting and I instead spend that amount of time, you know, that hour or two investing or programming or talking about our platform, you know, that may not be a very prudent decision to make. I have to know that we have an established base of revenue that we can count on from year to year that we can prove historically, so that as I now make a conscientious decision to take time away from my regular clientele and invest it somewhere else, I need to know that first of all, that the investment will be worth it, and I guess that's the risk part of the equation, but more importantly, that our existing clientele aren't forgotten about and are continuing to get the same level of business, or rather the same level of service that they've come to expect from working with our organization. So what about you? You know, whatever business you're in, whether you sell a product or a service, whether you sell your time, or whether you manufacture a widget, or whether you are a distributor for a certain kind of product, have you thought about it, or do you have a base of customers that you can count on, or a stream of revenue that you are pretty confident will continue to be there to keep the lights on and to pay for your overhead? So now as you go to grow and expand, you can do so more methodically. So what does that look like for your business? My experience with entrepreneurs in particular and small business owners, and by small, I mean they have less than 500 employees. They're probably doing less than $50 million a year in gross revenue. So that kind of that's a small to medium sized business. They tend to chase every little shiny thing. You know, when the economy goes soft, they tend to panic, and so they try to come up with new products or new services that maybe they can use to support the services that they are no longer selling. But sometimes that isn't always the best decision. You know, some people call that a pivot. You know, we used to do this, then the economy changed, and now we do this. And I know our business, I've often found myself saying the same things, only to return back to servicing our core customers from history. I mean, we've been around since 2001, and so certainly people know who we are, or there are people in the market that know who we are that will use us. We've had really great people on our team over the years that have helped build a little bit of goodwill for our company. So we know that the phone will ring. We know that there will always be another deal. It may not be the week that we need it or the month that we need it, but we know, looking back in history, that there's an amount of revenue that we can confidently feel like we're going to earn, whether times are good or times are bad. So then the question becomes, okay, so how do we leverage that now? How do we continue to grow our business off of that base of customers or that beachhead that we've established, and how do we make good investments going forward? And I'll be honest, we haven't always made the right decisions. In fact, I've made some decisions that have proven to be incredible financial train wrecks, and I chalk them up to the education tax that entrepreneurs and business owners have to pay. But I would share with you that one of the key takeaways from my years of trying to grow a business is exactly this idea of knowing who your customers are, knowing the revenue that you can expect to earn from a base of customers, and make sure that that's bolted down before trying to explore new markets or take advantage of new opportunities. And as entrepreneurs, we tend, and business owners, not to maybe follow things on a very black and white basis. Sometimes we can bend the rules, sometimes we can put our own kind of spin on things, but in my case, I have pursued other business initiatives that have proven not to be fruitful, even though I know all the hard and fast rules. And so I think that's part of the freedom that entrepreneurs get. But disciplined entrepreneurs, they perceive risk entirely different. An entrepreneur that just chases down different initiatives and spends a little bit of energy on 10 things knows that they're not going to get a 100% return, that's backwards math. Versus an entrepreneur that says, look, we're going to work really hard to establish a beachhead to service a particular kind of customer. And once we have done that and we have established it and it is producing a result, then we will take the next step and maybe pursue a different type of customer or a different type of marketplace. And so those are my thoughts today. Just thinking through this idea of servicing the heck out of your established base of customers before pursuing new business initiatives or new partnerships or new ventures that could grow your business. And obviously, one of the questions that comes up is, well, what if I'm a new business? You know, what if I've just started? Certainly, I'm familiar with a few businesses that we're working with right now where they might only have 1 year under their belt, or maybe they're only half a year into their new venture, and they're really scrambling to try and figure out how to get that base of customers. And my my opinion would be, I was going to say advice, but my opinion would be that you have to keep pressing on all of the different edges of an opportunity, or of a market rather, to see where you get the most traction. And history teaches me that often the opportunity you thought you could get, maybe you get it, but you don't end up getting it the way in which you thought you were going to get it. And so our business, as an example, earlier this year, we took a 90-day chunk of time and hired a couple salespeople to go out and talk to the marketplace of banks and lenders, to talk to them about our platform, to help them understand what it is we're trying to do, the problem we're trying to solve. And we got great feedback, but we didn't get the traction that we were looking for in terms of business opportunities. And there's lots of reasons for it, none of which are important, except to say that what we thought we would get, we didn't get, except that now, 6 months later, we're seeing that some of those same banks have now approached us with a different way to achieve what it was we were looking to do in the first place. So this begs the question, earlier this year, did we waste our time? And I would say no, but we had to learn quickly, fail quickly, so that we could adjust and find traction somewhere else, which we seem to have done. But for new businesses, you have to have that same expectation that if there's 10 different use cases for your product or your service, assume that you're 100% right. Assume that all the use cases that you've identified and the type of customer that you could be going after is correct. It's 100% correct. So no one's arguing with you as to whether or not there's a customer. But which customer are you going to get the most traction with? And as a new business, you may not be able to sit in a Starbucks with a latte and dream up the answer. The only way you're going to get the answer is by pursuing all 10 at the exact same time, and then waiting to see, as you go through the exercise, you'll see and be able to identify the ones you're going to get traction with. And it probably will look something like this. 8 out of the 10 are going to be opportunities, but they're going to require more time and effort than you might have available to you right now. But the other 2, they probably will be an immediate opportunity, but you'll probably have to adjust either your pricing or your method of delivering your product or service to them to accommodate them. But if you can get 2 out of the 10 or 1 out of the 10 that agree to use you, they agree to pay your costs so that you're keeping the lights on, then that affords you the opportunity now to pursue the other 8 or 9 out of 10 that were going to take some more time, and you can increase your pricing for the rest of the marketplace to make up the margin that you're not getting on the first customer. So I don't think it's a science. I think it's an art. And I think good entrepreneurs have an intuition. I think they know intuitively that certain things will work and certain things won't work. But where entrepreneurs can fall victims of themselves, as I have done, is that you stop being realistic. And so one of the ways I've learned to do that is to just pursue these things that seem like opportunities, fail quickly, learn quickly, and adjust quickly, instead of trying to believe your own BS and think that something is an opportunity that, you know what, assume it is an opportunity, but it's probably not an opportunity today. It's probably something you're going to have to put on the back burner. So if you're a new business, run out to the marketplace every single day to figure out where you're going to get some traction. And it might involve, stacking up with meetings for a period of 2 weeks and just meeting every potential customer you think you might have. And I guarantee you, coming out of those meetings, if you're open, if your mind is open to it, and you know it's a 1 in 10 game, that you will probably find a new way to deliver your product or service to the market at maybe a bit of a lower price point to establish a base of revenue. Once you've done that, though, then you'll be able to grow more methodically and more strategically. So new business, existing business, one-man shop to companies that have hundreds of employees, this exercise doesn't change. You have to establish a base of customers that you're working with on a regular basis who are paying your bills and paying for your overhead. And then from that base, you then start pursuing opportunities for growth. So I hope this podcast was interesting. I hope it was informative. I hope it has given you some things to think about, because it certainly has given me some things to consider. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Dylan Gallagher. You can follow me on Facebook, reach out on LinkedIn, follow my blog or subscribe to my blog. And if you just want to chat, if you have a business and you're stuck, or there's some financial aspect to your business that you really could just use some help with, reach out to me. I'd be happy to help. And I look forward to catching you on the next podcast.